So we're going to go online now and be on Facebook so people can watch us from there. But in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you some questions. Not a quiz, but I'm going to ask you some questions about what you saw and how you thought about that in terms of missions and stuff. So that'll be next week. Are we up yet? Or not
yeah, I need it. It's just nearly open to.
Okay. I appreciate it. So to those that's just coming on with us on Facebook, we've just watched a video about some medical missions work that's going on into Syria and by the help of Israel. And we're going to have some discussion about it. We're going to kind of give you a, what I put on as a life application for us tonight. And that's always what I want you to really think about and say, here it is. Love your Christian family. That's key to what we do. But the Bible also teaches us to love your enemies. And what we just saw is a group of people loving their enemies. Because love is an action. And you don't say, I love somebody, but then you don't do anything. There was one of those Israeli guards that you couldn't understand what he said, but if he was close enough, you could read it. And he was asking, why do you do this? And he said, I can't look at them on the other side of the border being hungry and not do something to help them. Now, the other side of the border, meaning into enemy territory. And he said, I see them hungry. And so Israel had decided, if we want to create a neighborhood we can all live in, we got to be neighbors. We got to reach out. And that's what they're doing through what you watch. And so, again, love your Christian family and love your enemies. I like what the lady said. Underneath it all, we're all people. And we all have the same perks and same needs. Because here's one thing that we must understand. That is how God sees us. He does not see us in color or nationality. He doesn't see us in... He sees us as His children, some that have been redeemed, some that are lost. And the Bible teaches us that He loves the world. And His desire is for all to be redeemed, for all to be saved. I want to read some scripture. This is going to be from 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 7 through 10. And I want us to look at these and thinking of what we have just watched and what we're talking about is reaching out. So we're breaking away tonight from our study in Matthew and just coming to this point. But this has been on my mind today, really, as of leading up to today. And so as I put it all together, I wanted you to kind of get this point. So 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. I'm going to read verse 8 again. Above all things, have fervent charity. And that word charity is not just in doing. It's the word love. That's the word teaching us to love people. And when you think of charity, you giving to people, not because you feel sorry for them or in pity, but because you love them. And so he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Notice verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, what we've just read in these verses was played out in real life in what we watch. Is to have hospitality and to above all things. Remember what the man said? He said, how can Christians help pray? He said that fervent prayer, praying for these people around the world. Our mission's emphasis this month has been trying to bring us to a place where we recognize we must be praying for people around this world, praying for people to come to Christ. We cannot afford to be in a place in our own mind that we feel like we're blessed because we're Americans, God's loved us, we're privileged, and therefore, you know, we're okay, and the rest of the world should just get on target. It's for us to pray for other people, those people that have not seen. There was a couple things that interest me. I'm going to bring those out. I want you to talk about some things that stood out to you about what you watched in there. But one of those things that stood out to me, and if they happen to be the same, that's fine. I want you to mention it as well for yourself. One of those things is when one of the Syrians that had came, and he had gotten help. Did you pick up on the fact that he said he was always told that Syrians, they were the enemy? And he said, but it turned out that was opposite. He said, if I had not come here, I mean, Israel, he said, Israel was my enemy. That's what I'd always been told. He said, when I came, I'm glad I got here because I would have died. He said, I would not be alive if I had not come. He said, that turned out to be the opposite. And then he said, I was always told Christians were what? Did y'all catch it? Bad. Bad people. But what did he say about them? He said, they're good. How did that change in him? See, a few days before, he saw Israel as his enemy and Christians as bad. How did that change?
He had been told that they were bad, but then he experienced through their actions.
Exactly. That they were not. He was going off of what he had always been told, but his experience showed him something very different. What does that tell us? The verses that we read where he talks about using hospitality, where he talks about letting everything else be done with charity, how does that relate? Help us with that. Anybody? How do we use that?
We love everybody.
And what's the result of that? If we love people, what are we doing in a sense?
People don't see Christ.
People then begin to see Christ. What we don't understand sometimes because of where we grow up, where we live, is we see everyone just as the enemy of Christianity. What we don't realize is they've been told we are the enemy. Christians are bad. And they're not going to change because someone says you ought to believe in Christ. They're only going to, that heart is changed when they experience and say, wow, you are not what I thought you were. What is the opposite of that? What's the opposite of that happening? Us sharing Christ, loving people, and then seeing and coming to Christ. What's the opposite of that?
Not sharing.
Not sharing, not loving people.
Right.
And confirming in someone's mind, yep, just what I thought. Christians are bad. They cheated me. They're mean. I got a Christian neighbor, and they're mean and hard to get along with as anybody I've ever had. When they see that, you know, I got a coworker. I'm just walking through. I don't have a coworker, but I'm saying if someone's there and they're thinking, I got a coworker. Some of them are supposed to be Christians, but you know they're hard to get along with. That's the total opposite of what's being taught us in the Bible, that we are supposed to be able to love people. We're to be good to people and be a friend to people. So I want to ask you, you watched that video. What stood out to you? How did you see Christ being shared? How did you see them breaking down a barrier where enemies were coming together and people were seeing the change? What stood out to you? Brother Terry.
When the man said that Christians wasn't bad,
yeah,
he thought they were. He had probably heard that all his life,
right,
that Christians were bad. Well, he was standing face to face with what he thought was his enemy. Probably expecting to die.
Right.
But instead, they gave him food and drink and showed him love. That had to touch a tender spot in his heart.
Yes.
Because of what he said.
That is so far above, you know, telling somebody, you ought to get right. You ought to go to church. You know, that's, like I said, just confronted with your greatest fear. Face to face in a vulnerable position with my enemy, and now he's fed me, he's paid the expense of hospital, and then to look and realize, okay, this medical center I come to is Israeli, but this doctor is American, and this place I come is Jewish, but this team that has come, they're Christian. Why are you here? Why are you doing this?
Convinced him to get the medical help.
I think there's some people now that know. You know, they're reaching out into the villages and stuff because in these outskirts, if you kind of understand a little bit of it, there's a lot of war and a lot of poverty, and so they're in need, and there's food and stuff being funneled. And once they kind of find out that source, they're realizing our enemy is not trying to trick us. They're They're here trying to help us. And they're trying to get us to see. Yeah. I think it's amazing to think that, you know, he's there and he's realizing this person, these Americans, these Americans are coming at their own time, their own expense, they're coming in danger. These doctors could set up a practice here in town and live a comfortable, very comfortable life. And they put their life in danger to go and share Jesus with people. We think about trying to get people to say, hey, you know, you can serve God. And, well, I'm not a preacher. And there's so many people that's making a difference that are not. What else stood out to y'all? That was very good, Brother Terry. I like that part very much. Y'all help me out. Y'all watch. I'll make you watch it again. Y'all can get it. What? What did you get out of watching the video? What stood out to you? Do what? You gotta love your enemies. And you saw people practicing. Come on, y'all, help me out a little bit. I might have some of our Facebook people call in so they can answer some things. Y'all need to share with me.
I would say just the fact that they realized that they knew they could have died, but they were willing to go and not only talk.
When you say, I'm going to go into this place, you know, where they went, it's not like you can't just go visit there and just get in. We even saw, if you paid attention, what was the timing, basically, on the, when it first opened up? When you first saw the video, there was a group of people doing something. What time of day was it? It was nighttime. Why was it nighttime? Because they were going in under cover of darkness. This isn't a missions trip where you go and you watch a ball game and pass out a few things and do a little bit of stuff. These people that really have gone and even going under cover of darkness to get into the other side of the border of a war place. There was... Did y'all see the planes coming by dropping bombs? Mm-hmm. You're working in one place, you have to get in bunkers. And that doctor said, she said, I really consider that, you know, I would lose my life doing this. But yet, I had to answer the question, do I love you enough to do it? And she said, the answer absolutely was yes. What else stood out to you?
She obeyed him.
Yeah. We've been reading and we've read so many times about Isaiah, where he said, he hears the voice of God saying, who shall ascend and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's what a calling is. So many times when you think of a calling, it's just God really like you. You're definitely knowing, like, I'm the only person that God's calling to go do this thing. It's not. It's that God's calling all of us to do things. And it's more about hearing, recognizing that, and responding to it, and saying, I see that need, and I want to fill that need. When you go and you look at your neighborhood, look at your workplace, especially the next time, like, if you're looking at your neighborhood or something, you might see, you know, kids and things that get on your nerves, and you might see neighbors down the street that and you're like, man, life's a mess. You know, who's going to go to them? That's the call of God. Is it an accident that you're in that neighborhood? Is it an accident that you're in the vicinity of proximity of where those people are? I know. God has put us there to reach out to those people. And answering the call is just, it's acknowledging, it's seeing that, okay, I'm not waiting for God to send me to some other place. I'm just looking around saying, God, this is where God wants me. And here's the people. I thought it was interesting when the doctor said in the exam room, those ladies would, you know, of course, take off the stuff, and she said their faces would be revealed for like the first time to them. And she said, suddenly things were different with her because she saw a face and she saw a person. And she saw a woman with needs, a mother. She saw beyond, you know, just this figure. You can see people, you you know, they're dressed a certain way, and you stereotype, not really stereotype me in a bad way, but you're minding me who says, you know, this is their religion or this is their habits and here's who they are. But then to get to know people, isn't that what Jesus did? He got to know, he got on a personal level with people. Share with me, what else stood out? We would ask Noah, but he didn't get to see it, so he'll watch him later.
The one thing that struck me was when she said that she asked herself, do I love my neighbor enough to lay down my life if need be?
Right.
She said she answered her own self, yes, I do.
Yes, I do. And that's a question that we ought to always be able to ask ourselves. And that's a big question. And I think it's amazing that they went and they've done this. And I guess it's just one group that we found out about and seeing how people are reaching out into the world. And, you know, I have prayed, and I've mentioned Syria before, and I've prayed for Syria. And I've called places to see, do you have any mission work going on in Syria? And the answers I've gotten back is, you know, Syria's a closed country, and it's really almost impossible to get in. When I come across that video, I thought, wow, God's made a way for some people to get in. A little unorthodox, but He's made a way. And it just got me to thinking, like, how many different ways can Christians serve God? If we're not in the mindset of a box that says, okay, in order to go reach another country, you have to, first of all, you have to be a young man who's called a preacher, a young woman who's you know, called to marry a preacher, and then be called as a missionary, and then go to that place. And I mean, that's just such a small number. But here, these doctors, they didn't look around and say, well, God's called me to preach. They looked around and said, I've got this skill, and there's this need. And I'm going to go. And then you have these others in the military that look and say, you know what? I mean, I can't look across this border and see those that have needs. I want to ask you another question. Here we see this. I'm going to ask a couple questions because it's going to lead us to my other part. Did it touch your heart? Did it? Are you impressed by it? Does it make you think about how we see our borders? Those on the other side of our borders. And if it really doesn't, we've missed something. They're lobbing bombs at each other, bullets at their borders. Our borders are not where we're shooting at each other. And yet there's an animosity for those that's trying to find help. Escape from danger in their territory. If these people can do this there, we as Christians ought to be very careful how we view our own borders. I've said many times, I never want to be misunderstood by this. We cannot afford our country, there's no possible way our country can afford to feed the world. And it doesn't make sense to drop your guard on your borders. That's not safe. But that doesn't mean that we as Christians should be critical and disrespectful and have animosity towards those on the other side of these borders. Because we were blessed enough to live on this side, be born on this side of the world. What story in the Bible reminds you of what you saw tonight? If I called it a parable, I told you that Jesus is the one that shared it with you. If it had the word good in it, would it help? The Good Samaritan. What was the story of the Good Samaritan? There was the Samaritan who was enemies with the Jews, and you find these two that interact, one taking care of the other. And one man at the point of death, looking into the eyes of someone that's not supposed to have pity or compassion or love for him, and hearing him say in compassionate tone, I'm going to take care of you. That story should never be a Sunday school lesson. I don't mean we shouldn't teach it in Sunday school. By that I mean it shouldn't be classified over here. It ought to be practice of our life. Living that out. loving people. You know, our life application says love your Christian family. That should be a given. Sometimes we have to be taught to do that. Love is not just looking around and saying, I love y'all. You know, it's coming to the aid. It's coming to help. It's praying for. It's caring for. It's sitting with people. Sharing life with them. Loving. And that's what Jesus taught us. And I just thought it was amazing. I want you to see that being played out and connect that with missions. I want our idea of missions to be different than what we sometimes have grown up with it, thinking that it's just this one sense of a preacher going somewhere. Missions is the church of God, Christians, reaching out into the world, showing Christ by the way we love. And part of what we do through the school, what we do in our community, what we do with our family, what we do with each other, that is a part of how we're moving the church of God along, letting people see. And so as we think about it tonight, I want you to really consider, how do I view the world? How do I see them? When I'm watching something, when I come across something, do I see that as a person? Do I see that as someone that could be me? It could have been my child or my spouse, my parents one day. Or do I just see that as someone who's different? Someone on the other side of the border. Someone that's got a different religion. When you see the countries, which stood out so much, I mentioned it before, and I think y'all heard me talking about it. Jews helping Christians help Muslims. That's big. They're getting it right. And so you see Christianity, you see God's love being played out in a dark place in the world. And so I want us to really recognize Christianity. One, what we do in church is big, but when we go out, we've got to live it. And that's people that's living. And I want us to realize this too. Those doctors won't stay there forever. They'll come back and they'll do things. There's all sorts of ways, places, and times. I think we ought to pray. God use us in some way to be involved in helping and love people, whether it's through prisons, through medical help, through other things, through ways. We can pray. We can pray God use our young men and our young ladies that are growing up in our churches to be involved in missions sometimes. It doesn't mean that God has to call them all to preach and send them to a particular field. It just means that they'll take what they learn, what they know, and they'll learn how to carry that out into another part of the world. And I want us tonight to pray again. And we're going to pray specifically again towards missions. And I appreciate our people on Facebook staying with us tonight. First, I'm going to go ahead and cut us off.